So this is we're learning a conversation, you know, in installments here, because Das Tunis is really a conversation. Let's just remember where we're up to, and this is very much a conversation because it's really structured as he started with an opening question, and that's very much the way Das Tunis is structured. He starts with an opening question, and then sort of backs up and talks a little bit, then backs up some more and talks a little bit more. Like that's what we've been seeing, so this back and forth. Yes, we are at Cafe. He was. We had really gotten interested in the state. Neshama gotten very interested in the question of Shleimus and Chisarit, because that's really what's drive one of the very fundamental ideas here is the fact that at the core of Olam Hazeh is Yekadosh Baruch Hu built Olam Hazeh around Chisronus. And the opportunity to imagine those, right? The opportunity to find Shleimus, but for us to have the space and the opportunity to create Shleimus, and therefore to own that Shleimus in our lives, and to be able to enjoy that ownership when it comes to Al-Habad, or to be able to own your Shleimus, there has to be Chesronus. There have to be gaps and lacks and deficiencies in life as presented. The default of Alma is that there are all sorts of Chesronus and deficiencies, and we work to create Shleimus, and that's what we're charged to do. And over the course of Oschav Dalet, he had begun to talk about what the Shleimus is. This connectedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and removing all the barriers to connectedness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he had said, harking back to what we spoke at the very beginning, sort of in structuring how we're going to go about inquiry into Yados and Machshava, is we know that we're going to have a general understanding of the Shleimus, but we can see specific details in terms of the lack of Shleimus in our lives. Now, we can get more specific about the Chesronos. The Shleimus is connected to the Kadosh Baruch, it's something we can talk about in general terms. It's going to be hard for us to get into details, but again, he quoted a Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin. Right? It spoke about that Olam Haba is Tzadikin Yoshim Atrosein Barashev Enenim Mizivashina. That there's something beyond eating and drinking, something beyond, way, way beyond the pleasures that the small pleasures we experience here is the grand pleasure of unmitigated, barrier-free plugging into Ribbono Shel Olam, which we'll be able to do much more fully in Olam Haba than Olam Hazeh. And just one more thing, and then we should jump into Osios Chafei Chavav. I think you had mentioned that at the end, we were talking after we learned last time, that there is a Machalukas Rama Ramban, right, about the what Olam Haba is like. The Rambam is of the opinion that Olam Haba is going to be purely spiritual, and that Tchias HaMesim is a stage before when our neshamas and bodies come together. But the Rov Rishonim disagree, most famously the Ramban, but Rov Rishonim, Ramban Berosham, disagree with the Rambam and assume that Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba are essentially one and the same thing. That Olam Haba is something we're going to enjoy with body and soul together, but in our bodies in a perfected sense, in a perfected state. And that's definitely what the Ramchal adopts in numerous places.
We're basically fixing our midos so that we can become
more. Well, it could be more than just midos, but that's definitely a piece of it. Yeah.
The Shleimus part, just so that we can become Roi Klista.
Right. We're making ourselves resonant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Resonant. We're shaping ourselves into the sort of people, into the sort of beings that that can handle it, that can understand it, that can enjoy it. Mashal Ma'ad Davardoma. Imagine a high school French class. Imagine you have a three-year progression of French 1, 2, and 3. And if you sign up for that, elective, so you know that the end of year 3 is going to be a month. For a month, the whole class that travels to France. Okay? So over the course of 3 years, you know, different students are different. You have the kids who are very conscientious and work hard, and, you know, keep up consistently studying and, you know, drilling words and practicing. And you have the guys, you know, before the test, they get it done, but you know, sort of lackadaisical. Then you have some students who are absolutely checked out. At the end of 3 years, they all travel to France together. Obviously, those three groups of students are going to have three very different experiences. The kids who really were pounding French all the way through and really, really absorbed the language, they're going to come to France. It's going to be an incredible experience. They're speaking fluently. They're understanding what's being said. They can really take full advantage. They can go off on their own and try out things and go places and really fully enjoy the experience. the kids who got it, you know, did their work more or less, but you know, their French is sort of spotty, but it works, it's functional. So, you know, they'll enjoy a lot of the experience. Obviously, a lot of things they're just missing out on. And the kids who were checked out and never really learned the language, they can't go anywhere without a tour guide. They can't really engage anything, and their experience is so lacking. Now, what happened? Is it that, how could it be that the kids who did well in class have a great experience, and the kids who didn't listen are, you know, having trouble? Is it that the teacher called France in advance and said, oh, these kids you should be nice to, and those kids not? Obviously not. And you had the opportunity to pick up the language. If you took advantage of the opportunity, you made yourself resident with the country, you trained yourself, you shaped yourself to be able to speak the language of the country and to be able to take it all in. The more you did that, the more you shaped yourself during the opportunity you had to shape yourself, the more you picked up the language, the more deeply picked up, so the more deeply you can appreciate the experience as France. France is the same. But the question is, during the time you had to prepare yourself, how deeply did you prepare yourself to be able to take it all in? How much did you care for yourself? Essentially, Olam Hazeh is our opportunity to make to pick up the language of Olam Haba, to make ourselves resonant, to shape right. And in doing so, not only that we've done mitzvahs, but we're going to explore more how this works, but in other words, Olam Hazeh is our opportunity to shape ourselves into the sort of people that are built more and more to fully take in the Olam Haba experience, to fully take in the experience of this unmitigated closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the more we've torn away the mechitzas in our lives, more have shaped us, as I was saying before, to be resonant with Rav Shalom. So the more, when we, so to speak, come to France, we come to Olam Haba, a place that's built for connectedness, plugging into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the more we've shaped ourselves to be those sorts of people, the more we'll take it in. So let's take a look. At the very end of Chav Dalet, after discussing this idea of Shleimus, then the Seichelet said that we need one very critical hakdama. Chafei, Amar Neshama Mai, what's this idea? So let's take a look at Os Chavav. Amar HaSeichel, you need to understand the following. She'eloka baruch hu ha'yachol v'adai levro ha'adam v'chol ha'briya b'tachat ha'shemes. You have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's called Yachol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent, he's all-powerful. He could have created us, and he could have created the entire universe with total shameless. By his nature, so to speak, to the extent that we can even speak in those terms, the Kivayahu would have been more natural, more fitting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create everything perfectly. Because since HaKadosh Baruch Hu was perfect, in every sense of the word, Gampulosav, Ra'uishitiyan Shleimos, B'chol Shleimos. It stands to reason that everything that God does, everything that God makes, ought to be perfect in every sense of perfection. So it's actually surprising that the world is imperfect and so comprehensively riddled with imperfections. How come? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his wisdom decided he wanted to set us up for the opportunity to be mashlim ourselves, to create and own our own shleimus, if we're to have the opportunity to create our shleimus, we can't start the finish line. We have to be created with gaps and need filling. It's as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu held himself back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, unnaturally didn't allow his shleimus to naturally express itself. He didn't express his HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's grandeur is not fully expressed, not fully manifest in Olam Hazeh. Why? As an act of love for us, rather than doing that which would have been quote unquote most natural for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu held himself back. This is one of the ideas we refer to as tzimtzum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is almost like limited himself, so to speak. Like, imagine a parent who try and teach a child to swim. So you allow the kid to be in the water and the kid's flailing around. Now, so you feel like, oh, kid to learn to drive. Now, you might say to yourself, it would be so much easier to just drive him there myself. Why does he have to schlep and drain, be anxious? Just get in the passenger seat. I'll get in the driver's seat, and I'll get you there in 10 minutes. But instead, you're going to spend 30 minutes getting there? So on the one hand, it seems like, you know, the parent is providing more for the child by just, let's just get there and, you know.
Drive this smoothly, quickly, easily. You know, it'll be great. But le'idach, and that's
true. True. But le'idach yisa, the kid's only going to learn to drive if he's challenged by the driving and takes on that challenge and ultimately does it himself. So the parent recognizes the kid needs to do it himself, and if the parent holds back from what might have come naturally, they have a natural to just, I want to provide you as much as possible, I'll drive you there, I'm going to hold myself back so that my child has the opportunity to drive because he needs that opportunity to drive. So we may need the opportunity to create our shlemus in a different sense than the opportunity to drive, but that aspect of phenomenon is the same. It would have been quote unquote more natural if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have provided for us more in the moment to just give us everything, to create us perfectly. That would have been more godlike, more divine, to create things perfectly. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the decision that we need the chance to work things through on our own and thereby in the long run be happier and more fulfilled and more connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and enjoy our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and shleimus that much more. But in order for us to get to that end result, he needed to hold himself back, so to speak, at the beginning. La'asosam ba'osu ha'tchuna she'ratza ba, if he ha'tachas ha'mechuvin, ma'chshavta on his gift. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a grand goal for us. In order for us to get that grand goal, we need to start from a place of imperfection. And the Rabbi Elimelech Goldberg, who of Detroit, who was a Rav of South, Young Israel of Southfield, is now the lead Kids Kicking Cancer. So he has a book entitled A Perfect God Created an Imperfect World Perfectly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect, and he created, this world is very imperfect. This world is very imperfect. But he did a perfect job of creating an imperfect world. He created an imperfect world perfectly. And it's for the purpose of our own perfection as well. And then he goes on, Ramchal goes on to say, there's another idea here as well. Not only to recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu actively, deliberately chose to step back and to not create us and the universe perfectly, even though he certainly could have and in a sense should have or would have been more natural. But here's another idea. The Gemara comments in Maseches Chagiga that one of the meanings of the name Shindal Yud is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who said die, who said enough to the universe. Hashamayim ha'yinim tachim v'holchem. It's the beginning of the third part of Chagiga, talks about Maseh Bereishis. Kabbalistically, the Gemara says that the expanding universe, right, something that three and a half thousand years after the Chumash was given to people, cosmologists have finally come to recognize the truth of the first Pasuk of Bereishis, that the universe had a definite time start in time and space, this definite point in time and space that was the beginning of the universe and of science as we know it. That's what we call nowadays the Big Bang. And that the universe was expanding after that point. And it started with an incredibly dense point and it expands from there. So the Gemara says that Shamayim Ahochen Nimtachin Ahochen Achagor Behem. Kadosh Baruch Hu at some point says to the universe, this may not be talking about the physical expansion universe as much as spiritual realities of which the physical reality is a reflection. Achagor Behem. The Gemara describes that Kadosh Baruch Hu said to the world at some point, yeah, stop. So that's it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the world, said the universe, die. So what does this mean? Ramchal said, well, what's that guy that's driving it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have created an even grander universe than he did. More creatures. The particular items he created could have been larger. The Kadosh Baruch Hu created the universe lefi erech hapol in proportionate to the doer, proportionate to the creator. So then, lohayelam shir kamo she'en shir lo v'yicholto. If the universe fully reflected its maker, then it would be far grander than it is. Now, think about a piece of art. think about a piece of art, right? So sometimes you have a master painter. So it could be not everything that comes off of his easel. It really reflects his talent. Well, it may have been sort of a quick job. You know, his grandchild wanted a picture of something. So he's not necessarily, you know, he may or may not invest himself fully in that. He may, you know, grab a pencil. And again, his 5-minute pencil sketch may be much better than anything we can pull off. And yet at the same time, it's not doesn't give full expression to his prodigious powers. I mean, that would be a very impressive 5-minute pencil sketch, but still, if he really rolled up his sleeves and worked for 5 hours, it would have been that much grander. So he says you have to realize Sha'amar Lo'am Adai means that the universe doesn't give full expression to the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Borei. Right? Could the universe have been infinite? Good point. But it could have been so much more. Ava Baram Lefi Erech HaNifal. It wasn't, he's not trying to give full expression to what he can do. He doesn't need to. It's objective oriented. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a plan for us and executed around his plan for us. He's executing around not what he's capable of doing, he's executing around what we need in order for us to enjoy experience to the extent that he wants us to. The high news is erech hanifal. It's proportioned, it's calibrated to the creatures, not to the creator. The high news, in other words, sheshir behem hamida hatuna haneosa behem lefiyam mechuvim behem. Things are scaled and designed according to what's needed for the creatures, for us. V'nim tshusha al kalpanim, yikev kivayachol yichol to haraba ubilti balas tachas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, artificially limited his unbounded, infinite capability. Shelo tifal b'briyosov kimo erko. We don't experience the full power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creative capability. The universe was, with this Olam Hazeh was designed for what it around what we need in order to get done the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in mind for us to get done. Now, two assets, that's where Friedlander points out in one of the footnotes at the bottom. This entire Os Chava, this entire paragraph, is talking about this concept of Tzimtzum. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu choosing to not give full expression to his power, choosing to limit himself, choosing, number one, to create us imperfectly, even that's, it's, so to speak, an unnatural thing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do, but it's in our best interest in the long run that we'd be built with imperfections, and choosing to make the universe in general not as grand as it could be, but instead calibrated to what we need for the universe to be the best context for us to have the Olam HaNisayon that we need in order to have the opportunity to build that shleimus. So let's just, he's going to wrap this up before he moves on to the next topic. He's wrap this up of the next two, three osios. Let's just see that for today. Arma Neshama, in Os Chav Zayin, Kol Zeh Mukhrach Vaday, this concept of Tzimtzum, it has to be that way. It's logically necessary. Ki Minah Emunah Hu, Shelokai Yisbaruch Shmo Hu, Kol Yachal B'chol Panim. We believe, B'Emunah Shleima, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yachal, that He is Almighty, that He is omnipotent. In every sense, there's no limit to what he's capable of. When we see any physical item that was created in a measured, limited way, obviously it's not that he wasn't capable of more, it's that he chose to do it this way. So Amar Seichel, good. Let's just recap this. Let's encapsulate this. Let's make sure the ideas we've discussed up until this point are clear. Then we'll move on to another preliminary concept, another premise. And so this, let's learn Os Chav Ches, and that'll be a good way to close for today. Here it is in concise, succinct form. Ha'lakayis barach shemo. Mona kiveyachal atzmo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, held himself back. Perush, what do we mean? Shemona es yecholto. He withheld his capability. Bivro nivrav shelo laso sosam kifi kocho. He chose in creating his creatures, creating us, the rest of the universe, to not to make us in proportion to his infinite capability. We're not made according to how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do, but instead we're designed around HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purpose. Uviram chaser, a specific HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with imperfections. Kedesh yashlimu heim esatman. So we have the opportunity, have the space to perfect ourselves. V'yishlimu sam scharam b'schus ma'ashat taruchu ha'asigo. And that perfection itself will be the greatest reward for our efforts in achieving and procuring that shleimus. Again, going back to that mashal, the greatest, most natural reward of having learned the foreign language, having worked to learn the foreign language, is being in a place where you can fully enjoy, you know, putting that language to use and enjoying everything that will flow from being able to speak the language. All of this whole notion of creating us imperfect, is that we can thereby have the opportunity to create our own perfection and enjoy that perfection. This is all ultimately a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's holding himself back. He was, as it were, staying on his head, tying his hands, so to speak, behind his back, just l'ma'aneinu. The parent who says, we'll take a half hour to get there instead of 10 minutes to get there, because I want you to have a chance to practice your drive. So this is obviously a far grander sense, but there's a certain element of that's true here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'davka chose to create Al Mazet, to create places of imperfection, to create us imperfectly, so that we can, in the long run, enjoy that much more. And so next time, we will move on to the next Takdam. The next Takdam, but now that we understand the idea of Chesronos, and it was actually, ironically, an act of Chesed, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates us imperfectly, creates a world with imperfections, often with very painful imperfections, but in the largest of senses and with the largest perspective, is actually an act of chesed. So the next phase he's going to move into, and Osir Chavtas and Lama, is let's begin to talk about what you were asking. Like, okay, so that's a nice concept. How do we begin to do that? How do we? How are we? Mashlim Chesronos. That's going to be the next leg of the conversation.
Is it possible to say, like, the fact that he did create us imperfectly is not really pulling back his full strength, but he's actually, like, showing his full capacity, that even a perfect God can do things and, like,
That's very good. That's a very sharp point. It's a little bit, I think, of what Rabbi Goldberg is trying to capture, right? A perfect world, a perfect God created an imperfect world perfectly. And there's a unique type of perfection in this. As a matter of fact, I'll leave you with this idea. I wonder whether, when we talk about the mitzvah of the halachta b'drachav, right, to emulate the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I wonder if in this idea, there's a very profound type of the halachta b'drachav, to be a goal-oriented person, is to be a long-term thinker, and to be the sort of person to develop the midah of just thinking first about what are my long-term end results, like what's my goal, and then figuring how I'm going to, then only then sort of planning how I'm going to strategize and implement, execute around that goal. Well, the Ramchal refers to in Mesilas Yesharim, right beginning in Perek Beis, as being Zahir b'masov v'drachav, that's having a derech, having, knowing what the trajectory is, where you're trying to get to, and then being also Zahir y'masim, specific decisions, getting to that long-term goal. So yeah, I wonder whether that's like a very deep halachta v'drachav there, because we think he's saying here, it's the metaphysics of the universe. Thinking about sort of like almost like the mechanics of the building blocks of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu went about designing and creating and running a world, one of the very basic ideas is this, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a vision for us, and l'ma'aneinu, as a chesed to us, figures out a way to build things so that in the long run, we're going to, his great goals for giving goodness to us will be maximized. Yeah. And there's a unique type of perfection. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. That's the reason why he chose to, in the short run, act without, create beings that are not shalem, is really, you're right, an expression of his shleimus. Because he wants ultimately to give us the greater shleimus. In order to do that, he needs to set us up in the short run, initially with imperfection.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.